Bill. How are you doing today?
Oh, fine.
Welcome to the show. It's a Monday.
It is, isn't it? Yeah. All right, so if those of you listening haven't noticed, there's some technical difficulties, but we're working.
I haven't noticed.
No, it's hard to notice them. They're very subtle. But we're doing our best to correct them, and we certainly hope, because John Williams will not stand for this.
Well, Cochran did this to us, because, you know, the computer crashed right as... I said, when did this happen?
Yeah.
As soon as Steve got off the air.
He was doing an experiment with magnets, where he was running them up and down on the board just to see what would happen. That can't be good for the equipment.
No.
There's no way that's good for the equipment.
All right, well, I think we're going to say hello, then we have to take another break, we have to catch up.
Mm-hmm.
This is going to be fun.
Well, the best part is our producer Jasmine, who was gone most of last week. She was attending a friend's wedding. Steve, you have a question?
Well, so we thought.
Yeah, we were under the belief. She had told us she was attending a friend's wedding out of the country in Mexico. She's not here today. She was scheduled to be here today, but she is not here yet. She's on her way in, but her reason for being late is, I believe, Hall of Fame caliber. I believe her.
Oh, I do too, 100%.
I'm positive that her reason for being late is legit.
So her dog ate her.
No, it's
pass,
better. It's
oh,
one.
It's
if
so
I
good.
Was a boss, I have never heard this one before. And we throw it out here because perhaps you would like to use this as an excuse,
yes.
Anyone.
Maybe a flat tire.
It's way better.
Sick. Food poisoning.
Steve, if I said to you, you can guess between now, but the cutoff is Christmas. On December 25th, you have to stop guessing.
Mm-hmm.
You would not get it.
Really?
It's so outrageous that there. It's one of those excuses that's so outrageous that it has to be true because nobody would try it.
Right.
It just sounds so implausible. And I know if you're listening, you go, well, what is it? I think we have to let Jasmine tell you what it is when she gets here.
Right. But she
right?
was able to
extricate,
solve the problem, let's just say.
Right.
And she will be a little late.
Yeah.
David Miranda's helping us out this morning. Vivian's still there.
He's torn out all of his hair in the last 5 minutes. He had a full head of hair before the show started, and he has none left. So strange.
I got to tell you, you know, this world of technology, we do a Tech Tuesday each and every Tuesday. Don't rule out humans, because
right.
once a computer goes down, it's...
Yeah, it's over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You guys certainly proved you could step in and replace the computers there just a few minutes
Thank
ago.
Thank you, Steve.
But here's the weird thing.
That was our goal.
We didn't exactly know the computer was failing.
I think what I heard was, what do we do now?
Yeah. There was a lot of that sort of behavior. Right. And then I always make that noise I hear in movies where I go, whoop, 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 whoop. And there's no reason for it. It just makes it more fun for me.
So I'm betting on you guys.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
We'll be fine.
I gotta tell you, Bill, it's pretty funny when there's dead air because you just look at me like,
yeah,
right. What?
Yeah. Right. They tell you at broadcast school you need to fill that time, but I was sick that day. I didn't go in that day.
I guess everything just kind of all happened at once.
Yes.
And Steve Cochran is to blame.
Yes.
You know what it is? It's Dave Ennett getting back at you for correcting him on the air last week.
Dave Ennett said the name of a tennis player incorrectly. He said Allison Risky. I said it's Allison Risk. And ever since then, there's been a cloud hanging over the studio.
He did this
I
on
learned
purpose.
My lesson.
Sabotage.
You don't correct the pro. You just don't.
All right. Well, let's fit in some commercials, and we will come back, and we'll start the show.
It'll be fine.
Sometime today.
Yeah, it's coming.
It's a Monday.
Right.
Things happen.
No rush. No rush.
All right. It's Bill and Wendy at 720 WGN. I had a song ready, but the screen changed, so now I don't have a song. So I shall sing for you.
Please. What do you got?
There's no
That's
business
We're fine.
Like
We're
show
good.
Business.
Thanks, Wendy. That's scary. Okay. Hi, guys. It's us. It's Bill and Wendy. Welcome to the show. Yes, there are some technical difficulties, but I think we can get through this. I think we'll be okay. Did you see the story? This happened in California. Tyler Skaggs was a pitcher for the Angels, the Anaheim Angels, who died very sadly, very unexpectedly about a week and a half ago. The Angels, in their first game back in Anaheim, decided to honor him, very popular member of the Angels. So every player on the Angels wore his number. And his mom came and threw out the first pitch.
Oh.
Did you see what happened afterwards?
No.
The Angels then threw a no-hitter, a combined no-hitter, which means that it wasn't one pitcher, it was two pitchers, or it could be more, but in this case it was two pitchers, who threw a no-hitter. The last time a no-hitter was thrown in the state of California was July 13th, 1991, which was the day that Tyler Skaggs was born.
Oh, I did not hear that.
Isn't that is pretty freaky.
That's incredible. What?
I just, you know, I don't know what to say other than I believe in God, and I believe coincidences are sometimes a little nudge from God, and that one is, the hair on the back of my neck is standing up like Will from Stranger Things.
I don't know how that can be explained. I mean, it certainly is the strangest coincidence, but it goes beyond coincidence. You know, they talked to the players on the Angels afterwards, and they all said things like, well, you'd expect nothing more. He was watching over us. He was guiding us. He was helping us, meaning Tyler Skaggs. It was a very emotional night from start to finish. I watched the highlights of it, and it was so emotional to see his mom out there. His mom is a softball coach. And
was very instrumental in getting him going into it. And
yeah,
that's touching and heartbreaking and lovely and sad.
It's crazy, isn't it? And other people were finding other things to mention, like the last guy who made an out was the 28th Seattle Mariner. 28 was his, was that his number in school and high school? I mean, there were a whole bunch of little sidebars to the story, but the strangest one was the one I told you, that the last time a no-hitter had been thrown in the state of California where it was thrown was on the day he was born. That's the craziest one.
That's pretty incredible.
Yeah, very, very strange.
I don't know what's going on in the world of tennis. I just get alerts on my phone.
Steve Cochran brought it up during the crosstalk. It was the Wimbledon finals yesterday.
Do you watch all that? Are you like getting popcorn and wearing your tennis whites while watching?
I did not watch the entire match. I watched the last set and a half. I really should have watched the whole thing, but I always know it's going to be a long, grueling day. It was hours and hours and hours long. It was a very exciting finish. They went to a 13. When it gets to, in the finals, if it gets to 12-12, usually to win a set, it's 6. But when you have two evenly matched players and it's a high-stake match, it can go longer, and it often does. This one went to 12-12, and the rule at Wimbledon is if a match goes to that score, to 12-12, they do a 7-point tiebreaker. And Novak Djokovic was dominant. He didn't make any mistakes in that. And by that point, Roger Federer was cashed in, and he made some balls that he's hit millions of times came to him, and he mishit them, and that was that. But it was a very emotional match. They said to him at the end, this is Federer who lost the match, they said, "Will you ever forget this match?" And he said, "I'm going to try to."
Oh,
which was very funny.
That is pretty funny.
For a guy who's not known as being hilariously funny, that was pretty funny.
I don't know that he was trying to be funny.
He was not trying to be funny. He was being honest. But
I love when that happens.
It came out very funny.
All right. Someone wants to know if off the air I was having a Casey Kasem-like meltdown. I really wasn't.
No. To your credit, you were not. You were, you were looking for answers. We were all looking for answers.
That is classic.
Right. And I do what I think any responsible broadcaster will do. I just climbed under the desk and waited for it to be over. I just burrow underneath the desk, and I'm like, oh, when this is over, I'll come out.
I need to find out what to do in case of an earthquake, because we will be heading to California later in the week. And
you had mentioned that family members were a little nervous about the timing of this. Is
me?
It you?
Oh, I wanted to cancel the trip.
Don't cancel the trip.
I'm not, but I have downloaded the Shake Alert LA app.
Yeah.
You think I'm kidding.
There it is right on your phone.
Why would you have done that?
Well, because I want it, because it goes into effect as soon as we land, and then I get a forewarning of when to start screaming. Why wouldn't I do this?
Why don't you just wait to start shaking around? Then you'll know.
Well, I was, I'm a little afraid of earthquakes. I experienced a very mild one many, many years ago. I was a contestant on The Weakest Link.
Yeah.
Not the radio version of it that happened. I auditioned here.
Yeah.
And went out there, and they put me up in some swanky digs.
Yeah.
And I felt like a weird thing that woke me up, and it was kind of like, I'm not on a waterbed. Why is it moving? And I talked to a friend who lived out there, and she said, oh, yeah, mild
earthquake.
It was nothing.
Uh-huh.
It was kind of cool, actually, to go, wow,
right.
I experienced one.
Do you know what number register it was?
It was a blip.
It wasn't anywhere, yeah. Right.
It was just a minor thing. But then with the earthquakes happening now, I was getting caught up on Big Brother. I love that show. I know Nick DiGiulio likes it as well. And actually, you make fun of me and feel free to do that. Okay. But CBS has it, and it's my favorite mindless summer watch.
Yes.
And there was a moment in an episode where the earthquake happened, and you could see the cameras moving. And they all went under the table. Yeah. And I'm telling you, that's what I would do.
Yeah.
And you saw the video of that newscaster that went under the desk.
It made perfect sense. And then especially people should know, because I don't know if when you watch the video, you get the full scope of this. When you're in a TV studio like that, there's so many lights up above you. So the fear is if those lights come tumbling down,
you're dead.
Yeah, it could kill you.
So were you able to put a table in your carry-on?
I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm just going to tell you that it's been told to me that I'm no fun anyway. So I hope I am able to have fun. They closed the rides at Disney during this thing, even though it wasn't even close to Anaheim.
Right, and everyone was fine. My daughter lives in L.A. She didn't feel either one.
Honestly? Okay, right. I feel 100 times better. Does she have the Shake Alert app?
I'm sure she does not. No.
Albert Brooks used to do a bit in his stand-up where, I don't know if you're aware of this, but at Universal Studios, they used to have a ride called the Earthquake Ride.
So you would ride through it, and it was like your
experience of an earthquake. So he said, wouldn't it be funny to be on the earthquake ride in California when there's an earthquake? Because one of two things could happen. You either would have no idea at all what was going on, or it would be the greatest ride of your life. You'd see stuff collapsing and crumbling. You'd go, wow, this is so realistic.
Or it would counterbalance the effects, and then you'd feel like the ride's broken.
Nothing's happening here.
We did that last year, and it was pretty cool, I got to tell you, but that seems silly to do like some... That's like, why don't we have a tornado ride here in the Midwest?
Yeah, right.
All right, well, your daughter's been out. She didn't feel either of them?
Nope. She was at a concert, I think, in fact, during one.
That's why.
Hollywood Bowl.
Oh. You would feel... I mean, if it was impactful, you would still feel it. Regardless
if you're
of
dancing.
Where you are.
She said it did knock the bananas off a refrigerator, so there was.
I think that's a euphemism for something, Steve, but I don't know what.
In fact, I did that in the 80s. You knocked the bananas off my refrigerator.
It was a huge catchphrase a long time ago,
All right, well, thank God for apps. I know you'd laugh at me, but Shake Alert LA if you're going there. And
but you know how inaccurate weather apps are.
No, this isn't a weather app,
but that's what I'm saying. If a weather app is that inaccurate...
It's not inaccurate. You don't get the weather alerts?
Okay, they're wrong all the time.
When did you download that app?
The day of the earthquake.
Yeah. Okay, how frequently are you looking at it?
Oh, it does nothing now. It's inactive until you get to LA.
Because I could just see you checking it every 5 minutes now.
Oh, no, you have to leave your location services on, so right when you're flying over and land there, it'll go into effect. And there was a problem with the warning system, excuse me, because they weren't giving warnings when it was, like, it had to be an over 5.0 or something in order for it to go off. So they've changed the settings a little bit, so it's going to tell me when there's maybe a 4.0 or something. I'll call in.
All right.
I'll take video.
All right. That's fine. All right. Let's take a break. We'll get you some news. Steve has the news, and then there's more show, including our producer, Jasmine, who will tell you why she was late today. It's the greatest excuse of all time. That's ahead. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Thanks, Steve. Hey, everybody. It's us. It's Bill Lesson. It's Wendy Snyder. A triumphant return for our producer, Jasmine Cooper, who was away most of last week. She was in Mexico attending a friend's wedding. She's back today, but there was a slight problem. Hi, Jasmine. Welcome back.
Hi, guys. I'm here. That's the important thing. I know, right?
Is that you're here. Now, I said earlier that you texted Wendy and myself and let us know that you would be a little bit late today.
Well,
actually,
first of all, not coming in.
That's what we thought initially, was that you would not come in. And you gave a reason, and I think, I said this on the air, in the history of excuses, this is the best excuse of all time.
It wasn't an excuse,
I know.
Guys.
No,
please,
it's real.
Preface that by saying... We 100% believe you, but here's why. Bill said it was so out there that there's no way somebody would have made this up.
No one would lie about this.
This is the strange thing. So actually, I was locked inside my apartment. This is the excuse. I was locked inside my apartment.
Your front door to the apartment would not open.
Correct.
Yeah.
So I was banging on the door, asking my neighbors, and I was like, hello, is anybody out there? Please help. Is the lock turning? Like, do you see it?
Yeah.
So then I had to get him the toolbox, and I'd figure some tools out. So I was trying to unscrew the actual bolt to the door. Ooh. So I got that done. And then the lock on the outside actually went out the door. So now I'm like
totally
screaming.
Trapped.
Right. So now I'm screaming through the hole, like, hello, anybody, you know, like, I'm stuck. And my neighbor was like, what do I do? And I was like, well, try to see if you can open the door. You know, help
was
me
the
out.
Knob still on?
The knob was not. It was outside the door.
Oh, the knob fell off.
Yeah.
That
so
is the
I'm
worst
stuck.
Feeling ever. It's happened to me. I'm serious.
All right. Here. All right. I know this is an obvious question, but it needs to be asked. Is there a back door to this apartment?
Or a fire escape?
I'm on the fourth floor.
Yeah.
No fire escape.
No fire Nothing. Escape. No back door. So only one way in, one way out. That's
right.
It.
Did the door stick before?
Yeah, this okay, is funny. Yeah. This actually happened on my birthday. I was locked
it did.
Out. In, well, locked in.
Locked in.
Again, on my birthday, and I had to wait 2.5 hours for somebody to come and get it. And the maintenance man's like, we're changing all the doors, so you should be okay.
Well, yeah. They got to fix that today.
Yeah.
You got to plane that door
You're a professional.
Down.
You have a job
I
to do.
I have things to do.
All right. But now, was it jammed? Bertrand said you got to plane that door. Really good talk, by the way, you know, which means shave off some wood because it doesn't fit in the frame, but is it the
but
hardware?
Not a craftsman. She doesn't just have
no,
tools.
No, the building manager
I mean,
has to do it.
I had a toolbox.
But was this the hardware that prevented you from getting out, or the door itself that was kind of jammed?
The hardware.
Oh, okay.
Like,
yeah.
The whole thing is...
No planer needed.
Yeah.
No.
You mean, so the door moves freely, but the hardware didn't work?
Yeah, like, it would
it wouldn't
not
unlock.
Lock.
Oh, that's not a good thing.
I know.
Does the landlord live on premises or elsewhere?
Yes.
He lives elsewhere?
Yes.
He or she lives elsewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And are they close by? Like, could you call him or her and say, hey, you got to come and help me. I'm locked in my own
And he'd say, no,
apartment.
I'm at work.
Right.
Right. No, he actually lives in Wisconsin. So I'm like, what do I do?
No.
So I called the emergency hotline and I was like, I know this sounds ridiculous, but I really am stuck in my apartment. I'm not joking.
Yeah.
And I can't get out.
Yeah.
And they were trying to walk me through it. I was like, I'm not a mechanic here. I can't do this.
Oh, yeah. Bill, would you know what to do if you were locked in?
Well, cry. Just scream and cry.
So when I was looking for my first apartment in Chicago, I was looking at this apartment building on Pratt in Rogers Park.
Yeah.
And we walked in the front, and there were a bunch of really older people who seemed, you know, like, well, they were a little scattered.
Yeah.
And they would all sit out in front of the building. So I go in. This woman takes me up to the second floor. She closes the door. She shows me the apartment, and we can't get out.
Oh, my
great.
God. Oh, my.
And we're directly above the awning where all of these sort of, you know, senile older old men are. And she says, I'm so mad. I'll never forget this. She goes, I'm so mad I could just spit. And we can't get out.
Yeah.
And so she opens the window and she starts yelling out the window because she knew these guys' names. You know, Harry, it's us up here. And Harry's walking around thinking God is talking to him.
Oh, my God. So did you take it?
Yeah, you have to.
Right.
It's a good omen.
Right. And we finally got out ourselves the same sort of way.
Jez, when you first reach, so you reach for the handle of the door to get out of the apartment and you turn it and you're locked in. And then you realize you probably shake it a little bit to see if maybe a little bit of jimmying will help you in or out. And you realize you can't get out of the apartment. What was the word that you uttered either to yourself or as loudly as you could?
Or what did it start with?
Yeah,
I don't
just
think
tell
you
us
can
the letter
it
started
there.
With.
It started with S.
Yep.
Oh, I would have gone F.
Yep.
Would have whipped out the F.
Yeah,
on
in a case like that.
Was it Steve?
Totally.
Steve. Help me, Steve.
Somebody has texted, I've actually had that happen. My doorknob broke and I couldn't get out. It really does happen. We do not doubt you for a minute, but this needs to be taken care of. Yeah. Is your manager going to come out today and have it fixed?
Yeah. So when I left, the maintenance guy actually called and he was like, I'm going to take care of it, Miss Cooper. Don't worry about it. Because he's like, you've just been through a traumatic time. That's the same apartment that I had the fire in.
I remember that.
And he was like, this is just traumatic for you. I just feel like, and I was like, sorry, you're saying I should move?
Yeah. I think you should take that apartment that Bertrand
did. Yeah, that sounds like a nice apartment.
Is it still available?
There was a time I used to manage a video store in Downers Grove, and one of the people who worked for me called me from the parking lot. The electrical system on his car stopped working. He parked the car, but the doors were electronically locked. And I said, all you have to do is you have to push it up with your thumb. And I mean, I'm no expert, obviously, with anything electronic, but that's all it took. But I said to him when he came in, how long would you have sat there waiting for some emergency vehicle to help you out when all you had to do is push the lock up with your thumb? That's all it took.
Like pull it, though, right?
Well, you would put your thumb in and similar.
Because if your electric system goes, I don't know that I'd know how. There's no button anymore, so I don't know how I'd open.
This one had I don't know what the piece of equipment would be called, but underneath the lock, you could push it with your thumb to make it go up or push it down with your thumb to make it go down. But you're right. Normally, you would think, you got to get that real small tab and pull it up.
Yeah, I don't know how. If I have, everything's electric in my car.
Yeah.
So I don't think I'd ever be able to get out. I'd have to call somebody at a video store to help
me. That's why I was there. That's how I got the job.
He had a cell phone.
Problem solver. Yeah, this was in the, how about that? That was in the early
days.
Thank God. He was the first guy to have a cell phone, or he'd still be in that parking lot.
Thank the Lord. Well, we're so glad you are here. And what a crappy. Welcome back.
The rest of your day will be better, Jasmine.
I mean, I'm a multitasker in general, so this was a lot. But you know what? I'm here. I'm happy. I'm glad to be back.
Did it ever occur to you maybe just to sit around and watch TV all day?
It did, actually. It did occur to me, and I was like, maybe baby Jesus is telling me to sit down and actually just relax while you come back.
But
I'm like,
it.
No, you guys know me. I got to go. I got to do it.
I like a buffer day. A buffer day is really good for vacation.
If you have an excuse for being late, for missing work, we're at 312-981-7200.
It has to be real, though.
Text. Yeah, we're preferring the real one, certainly. Give us a text. Give us a call. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Thank you.
All right. Jasmine was locked in her apartment today, and... I liked how Steve Bertrand just jumped in
with
that
story. Steve had a story ready.
Yeah.
A great story. Think about this, though. I mean, she got out and everything was okay. But that, I mean, if there's some sort of tragedy, if there's a fire in the building and you're locked in, that's
unacceptable.
That's horrible. They got to fix that fast.
515 says, I once had to call into work late because an enormous spider was on my screen door and I refused to reopen my door until someone came and killed it. Is this from you?
That is not from me, but I would have done the same exact thing, sure.
773 says, I forgot to put my false teeth in and had to go back home. I don't believe that.
They're right. That one you could question.
I'm trying to think. I never really had any strange excuses.
I have something that's kind of interesting.
What happened, Jen?
A couple weeks ago, I was coming here. And I got here on time, but it was, you know, I like to be early.
Yeah.
But I rode my bike in. And it was a sunrise bike ride. Beautiful. Nobody's out. But you know what's out at 5 in the morning?
What would that be?
City rats.
Oh.
Yeah, one ran up to my bike. And I yelled at it to stop. But instead, it got caught in my back wheel.
Went
for a few spins. And then flipped in the air above me.
Oh, jeez.
And as I'm screaming for, like, oh, my dear life, and trying to run, like, ride away from it, I'm watching it behind me. It falls on the ground and it runs off. So I pull over to the side to make sure, like, do I have any, like, you know, blood or anything on me? What's going on? I scream the whole way down here and then bathe myself in hand sanitizer. So
yeah, that's disgusting.
You did the right thing there.
It was awful. Poor Roger Badish was the person who got to hear me screaming and crying as I walked in.
You actually made me think of when we worked at Q101, we started at 5:30 a.m., right?
Yeah, I think so.
And I was running late because I hit a deer. Do you remember this?
Oh, I do think I remember this, yeah.
I was coming in on the Stevenson, and I hadn't even gotten on the Stevenson yet. I was on the on-ramp at First Avenue trying to get on the Stevenson, and a deer ran in front of me, and I hit it, and it hit the ground. I swear I was not going that fast, maybe 30, maybe 40.
Luckily.
And it fell on the ground, and I started crying because I love animals, and it made me sick to my stomach. I called 911 and said, I just hit a deer. Can someone get out here? Because it's flopping like a fish. Yeah. It's not dead. It was so heartbreaking. I didn't even look at the damage on my car.
Yeah.
Dummy me pulled my car out a little bit so I was in a lane of traffic so I would protect the deer so no other driver would hit it.
Very dangerous.
Isn't that just stupid?
Yeah.
But I put my hazards on. I thought if I just drive away, there's going to be a deer half in a lane.
Right.
Someone's going to hit it.
Yeah.
So I stayed there, and 911 said, you know, we'll get animal control out there as soon as we can, or whoever they were going to send. And I stayed there and watched it took its last breath.
Oh my gosh.
It was really sad.
And that's traumatic.
It was bad. I made it to work, but I was about a half an hour late. It was just, you know, 5:30 in the morning. The sun's just starting to come up. This thing was so cute, and I killed it.
Yeah.
No damage to the car, by the
way. That's miraculous. I don't know how that happens with no damage to the car.
I was driving a Ford Probe at the time, and the front end is really low down.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that made a difference. It did not come up on the windshield. I was not going that fast.
Wow.
But then again, you think hitting something going 30 or 40 would still propel it in the air.
Yeah.
But that was my only weird excuse for running late.
It's every one of these is amazing. The fact that Jasmine got out in, she was only a half an hour late after being locked in. I fully expected her to miss at least one day, maybe two or even three. She would just be stuck in her apartment.
I was determined,
Wednesday
Bill.
Or Thursday.
I'm determined.
Just got back from vacation, man. I would have said, oh, God, can't get a locksmith here for at least a week.
The person who did free you was who?
Oh, the maintenance man.
The maintenance guy.
Yeah.
Schneider.
Schneider, the maintenance guy from One Day at a Time with the tool belt. Yeah.
Someone said I had the door issue happen, too. I was locked in my bathroom. I had to have my wife kick the door in. I called work from inside my bathroom to tell them why I was going to be late. It was hilarious.
You know what's strange is that our bathroom door in our house, like when we have company, to everyone in my family, it's a very easy move. You unlock the latch, you turn the handle, you open the door. It couldn't be easier. But I'd say half the people who visit us who use the restroom, you hear when they're done in the bathroom, you hear the door jiggling, and then finally a hello, hello. I don't know what they're doing wrong.
That's so weird.
Maybe it's the people you invite over.
Maybe that's what it is, Steve. It could be.
That could be it.
We should show them a short film before they visit us.
Maybe they're used to an outhouse.
Here's an orientation. Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah.
All right. Actress Renee Taylor is waiting in the PPG Paints green room, and she will be on with us after the news. Can't wait to talk to her about her new show, My Life on a Diet, at the North Shore Center for the Performing Arts. We'll talk to her. And coming up, the stories that matter with Steve Bertrand from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom, all happening right here, WGN.
Hugh Hefner greeted me at the door in red silk pajamas. I said, oh, are you sick? Because I could come back on the At the end of an elaborate meal, I was offered cocaine. I said, no thanks. I couldn't eat another thing.
That's the great Renee Taylor, who is in studio with us right now. A snippet from her show, My Life on a Diet, which is going to be performed Tuesday, July the 16th through Sunday, August the 4th at the North Shore Center for the Performing Arts. Renee, I've been waiting to meet you for years and years and years, and I have to be honest, the conversation that you're having with Wendy and myself off the air is not the one I thought we would have with you.
Oh.
You brought up some very bawdy things.
Oh, I did?
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry. No,
don't apologize.
Well, you know, Renee is taking lovely pictures of our view that we have, and you said, boy, you know, can you imagine life before having a cell phone? And a lot of people take selfies, and you saw a sign in a bathroom that said
I saw a sign in a bathroom that said, the ladies' room, please do not take selfies of yourself in the stalls. Well, why would anybody do that?
I know. I can't even wrap my head around that.
And young girls say, oh, this guy just sent me a picture of her penis. And I said, well, how do you know it's that person's penis and not somebody else's?
Right.
And what are you going to do with that information? Hang it on the wall?
Right.
I'm not a guy, but if I was, I would Google search, you know, a larger one and then send it and say it was me. If I was a guy.
I think I would send a flat-chested picture of me to someone.
So you're Academy Award-winning nominee, Emmy Award-winning writer. You're an actress, but you're also a diet junkie?
Yes, I've always been on a diet since I was 11 years old because I thought if I eat like beautiful people, Marilyn Monroe, mm-hmm. Grace Kelly, some of the people that I met, I'd look like them. And it almost worked.
Why do you say almost worked? I think it worked.
Oh, yeah.
You don't think so?
I don't look like some of the great, gorgeous people that I met. And when I would sit next to somebody who had a perfect figure like Jane Fonda, I'd eat what she ate. And once I sat down, and this is in the show next to Princess Radswell, who was Jackie Kennedy's sister. And she was practically anorexic. And I said, oh, I'm just going to eat what she eats. And she got up to go to the buffet table three times. And the first time she took two string beans.
Oh, God.
And the second time she took two peas. And the third time she took three baby carrots. And I said to her, uh-oh, overeating again.
I mean,
they say if you want to be thin, eat like what a thin person eats.
Yeah, yeah. But now Marilyn Monroe, by today's standards, they always say she was a more voluptuous woman.
That, yes, she was. You know? They would have fat shamed her.
Big time. Yep.
If she was with us. But to me, she was perfect, and she had gorgeous skin. And I met her in the ladies' room at Lee Strasberg's, where I was studying at that time. And I said, how did you get skin like that? Because it was like a peach. It was translucent. And she said, well, before I came to class, I took a bath, a very hot, for 3 hours, and I rubbed Vaseline all over my body.
Mm.
And I said, oh, I'm going to do that. And so for the next few weeks, I put Vaseline all over my body and got in a hot tub. But I just kept sliding into the tub. So I couldn't quite do what she did.
That's perfect.
You know, I think she grasped.
I think back of all those diets that were popular, the grapefruit diet.
Oh, I did that.
Did you
ever do the grapefruit diet?
Yes, I did. Although that was a little before my time. My mom did it. Then there was like the heart diet or something where you're supposed to do black coffee like before you have heart surgery or something.
Oh, my God. That sounds dangerous.
Hmm.
No, I did the last chance diet. Which was you had 2 ounces of liquid protein three times a day, and that's all you had. And I was on it with my friend Lainey Kazan, who was in my Big Fat Greek Wedding, and we've been friends for over 50 years. And I said to her, Lainey, we got to get off this diet. She said, why? I lost 40 pounds. I said, yeah, I just read in the New York Times that women are dying from it. And she said, oh, do we have to get off?
It was working.
Worth the risk.
Yeah, we were real diet junkies.
I have to ask you, in your early days of comedy, you had a singer opening for you, a girl named Barbara Streisand. Did she stay in show business, Renee, or whatever happened with her?
I wonder what happened to her.
I don't know what happened to her.
She must be in her 70s now.
Yeah.
I'm kidding. But she used to ask me... she opened for me at the Bonsoir, and she used to say, well, do you think I should sing this song first or that song first? And then she called me years later from the White House, and she said, well, what song do you think I should open with? And I said, I told you 10 years ago, you didn't listen. I'm not telling you anymore.
Can I ask how, you had a partnership both on screen and off with the great Joe Bologna for years and years and years.
You know, and
how did you meet?
He loved Chicago.
Did he? Yeah.
He loved Chicago. We had such a good time. We played here with If You Ever Leave Me, I'm Going With You, and It Had to Be You. Had wonderful memories here.
How did the two of you meet?
We had the same manager. And he said, I'm going to introduce you to somebody you're going to have a comedy rapport with. And I shook his hand. I looked in his eyes. I said, oh, my God, this is the man I'm going to marry.
Mm.
And later he told me that he was thinking, this woman's looking at me very funny.
You really just knew, huh?
I knew that immediately that I had known him before in past lives and that it was destiny for me to meet him. It took him a while to...
Really, yeah.
To get it, as it does men. It takes a little while longer.
The two of you had this impeccable timing. You could almost finish each other's sentences. Oh. You knew when one started and one ended. It was always magic to watch you guys work together.
Oh, thank you.
Made for Each Other the show that you started doing with him? That's the first time I ever saw you together.
What happened was, when I met him, he was a director of no, a producer of television commercials. And I was a young actress. And we went to the theater one night, and I said, oh, let's write a play. We can write better than that. So we did, and 3 years later, that was Lovers and Other Strangers, and we sold it to the movies,
yeah.
And we were nominated for an Academy Award, and we said, hey, this is easy. You just get together, you write, you have fun, and you're nominated.
It's not that easy, is it?
No.
No, but
you know what's
out.
Important? Not to know that it's hard. If you think everything in life is easy, then yeah. It is.
Boy, that's solid advice. That's such great advice. Don't know that it's easy or hard. That's beautiful. Wendy?
That's a good one. My Life on a Diet, you wrote it with your husband?
I co-wrote it with my husband,
yes.
And he directed it. Yeah.
And how long has this been running?
It's opening Tuesday here.
Brand new.
Yeah. No, we won awards in New York, and we only got rave reviews, and I was excited to bring it to Chicago because I've had so many good experiences here. Audiences here are so responsive emotionally, and they laugh at places that nobody else laughs at.
Why is that, I wonder?
I don't know. Maybe you're deeper.
I like to think
so. Let's go with that. That's exactly what it is. Renee Taylor is here. We're going to take a quick break and then talk more with her. If you have any questions or comments, we're at 312-981-7200. You can call us there or text us there. It's Bill F. It's Wendy Snyder. We've got show business royalty right here in the studio. Renee Taylor is here. She's performing in My Life on a Diet at the North Shore Center for Performing Arts. You want to go to northshorecenter.org or call 847-673-6300. I need to ask you about your collaboration with Mel Brooks and the producers. What can you tell me about you playing Eva Braun?
I was at dinner with him a couple of months ago, and he said, did I ever thank you for playing Eva Braun? And I said, no. And he said, well, thank you. It was 45 years later.
Yeah, it took him a while. Is there a greater storyteller anywhere than Mel Brooks?
No,
he's the best, right?
He is the funniest man in the whole world, really. And when I, he also remembered my audition. He said, we saw about 300 girls.
Wow.
And then you came and you did, Ich liebe mir, ich liebe nicht, ich liebe mir. He remembered my audition. Can
really?
You imagine?
All these years later.
You're pretty memorable. I mean, you're larger than life. You really are.
Oh, I don't feel that way. I feel like, you know, just a regular girl.
Renee, has show business or Hollywood changed dramatically in your lifetime? Is it a huge difference or is it not that different?
Yes, it is. It's
yeah?
Different.
For the better or for the worse?
Well, I can only tell you that a friend of mine was 103 years old,
mm-hmm.
and she went in and auditioned for a part. They were looking for an older woman, and they said, thank you very much. We'll get back to you because you're the first older woman that we've seen. And she said, well, you better get back to me fast.
It is different now. I mean, you know, you look up to celebrities. They had to work
and
very
you,
hard.
And they all audition now. Years ago, they used to just say,
get parts.
You know, get me Betty Grable. Now, if she was alive, they'd say, come in and let's see your legs.
Right, right. Do you get recognized most often from The Nanny or from other things?
Well, some people recognize me from The Nanny, and some people recognize me from movies. Some people recognize me from the theater. So mm-hmm. it's
a little
different.
Bit of everything.
Yeah,
yeah.
Which do you prefer? Do you have a love for all of them? The theater.
Well, I love the theater because, you know, Elaine May, who's a friend of mine, who's from Chicago.
Yeah.
Would say that I could never be a singer because I couldn't wait till the end of the song for applause. But that's what you get in the theater.
Instant
right
gratification.
Away people laugh instantly. And so sometimes I think, oh, my God, maybe it's not funny. The audience is so quiet. Maybe they've left. But then I look out and I see they're sitting on the edge of their seats. So
yeah.
It's okay. You don't have to laugh. You just have to be there.
Yeah. How early in a show do you know if that night is going to be a great night or just an average night or a good night? Do you know that immediately? Can you tell?
Yes, immediately. Because I come out and I say, I'm in my 80s. but I can play older. And if I get a big laugh, I say it's going to be a great show. And then sometimes there's no laugh. And I think, oh, maybe they're thinking about it.
Yeah.
So I say, oh, forget about it. And then just do the show and have a good time.
Yeah.
And I forget about whether they're going to respond or not. And those are usually the best shows. If you do it just for a healing experience for yourself, which it is for me, to talk about diets and how important it was for me to be thin, how important it was for me to look a certain way. After 30, 40 years, you just forget about
yeah.
it.
Has
and, that- and strangely enough, my most recognition came from The Nanny, where I ate all the time
right.
on the show. And I was very heavy.
Yeah.
And as a matter of fact, I brought a note and I gave it to Fran Drescher. And I said, my doctor said, I can't eat anymore on the show. And she said, yeah, but Renee, you don't have to eat during rehearsal. And I said, well, I'm a method actress.
Right.
All right.
But
so-
I gained a lot of weight on the show. And I was nominated for an Emmy. And it just showed me I didn't have to be thin.
Right.
I didn't have to be a size 4, which I once was. And now, if it'll go no further than this station.
We're not saying anything.
I'm a 16.
Wow.
I'm a 16. But, you know, I have clothes that are every size.
Yeah, just in case.
And it really, I have a sweatsuit.
Yeah.
If I don't have anything else.
Have things changed for fuller figured women now in the industry? I know back then it was so essential to stay thin.
It is now too. There's a lot of fat shaming
still
on the internet, and the models that just looking at Paris the other day at the shows that they're having there, they're you know, they used to have that heroine look.
Yes. That, Kate Moss was
mm-hmm.
yeah. Not heroin. Is it heroin?
Yeah, it was
yeah.
just very
they
withdrawn
like
looking
they were
and drawn
on drugs.
Out. Yeah.
And you'd have to be on drugs to
just
look
maintain
like that.
That weight.
Not eat
yeah.
at all.
Yep.
Nike just had like their plus size model for workout wear, and people are offended by it. But people can be healthy and not be super skinny. So
absolutely.
I think it's kind of a good thing that they're doing that.
I do too. I do too.
And it's good that they're making workout clothes in sizes that fit people that aren't a size 4.
When I was a young girl, I was a model for the Sears Roebuck catalog.
Yeah.
We saw you then because we looked at it all the time and
yep.
circled the toys we wanted for Christmas.
Yep.
Bill looked at the bras.
Yeah, for a few minutes just to see what was what.
And Renee, men in the underpants looking at their watch.
Yeah,
like,
there was
who
a
does
lot of
that?
That? Strange. You've done so much in the world of show business. What's the one thing that has eluded you that you've always wanted to try or do and you just for some reason have never done it?
Oh. I started as a dramatic actress.
Yeah.
And actually, drama is easier than comedy.
Yeah.
And I'd like to go back there and do dramatic parts. I like playing villains.
Yeah?
Yeah. And I've played a couple for my son. He's a movie director and writer. And he said, Mom, be more scary. So I like doing scary parts. When I play villains, I like to play them innocently. Because I think that bad people think they're innocent.
Yeah, you're right.
Look at our president.
Yeah. There's a great example.
And speaking of that, how political do you get when you're at a show? Because what if there are people there that are supportive of him?
Well, no. I don't ever say anything in the theater about
yeah.
about our president, except to ask, is he still the president?
And the answer is usually yes. Yeah. He is still the president.
For now.
Yeah, yeah. So nice to finally meet you. Wendy and I have been fans of yours forever. And what a treat this has been.
I hope you're going to come to the show.
I would love to see the show.
Yes, yeah. It's My Life on a Diet coming to Skokie. It runs through August 4th, Sunday, August 4th, North Shore Center for the Performing Arts. And
people usually come backstage and tell me what diet I'm on. They usually say, hey, why didn't you say anything about the pregnant woman's urine diet?
Oh, I don't know that
I say,
one.
Well, it's a little gross, but
yeah.
But they tell me about their diets. Oh,
what's the one you're currently on? Is it the intermittent
I'm on the
fasting?
Dr. Oz one, which is you don't eat after sundown or before sunup.
To give your body more time to adjust to whatever food you've eaten.
Yeah, that makes sense. Seems to work.
Yeah.
And also eat less.
Yeah, that's the that is the key.
Solid. Yep.
Yeah, exercise more and eat less.
I'd like to bring you on as my trainer.
Okay.
That would be fun.
I'm available.
All right, excellent.
It is such a pleasure to meet you. I'm awestruck.
So
I have
to be
honest
here.
With you.
This is such a gorgeous studio.
We're very lucky, Renee.
Here.
We're very fortunate.
You can go to northshorecenter.org. Here's a phone number to call for tickets, 847-673-6300. Hurry, it runs through Sunday, August 4th. My Life on a Diet, and you're on social media as well. Do you do all that stuff yourself? Or
no,
do you get a little help?
I'm really computer illiterate.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know how to use a computer even.
I love hearing that because they're so overrated. I'm with you.
Pleasure to meet you.
Thanks, Renee.
Nice to meet you.
Continued success.
We'll take
Thank
a quick
you.
Break. We'll get you some news. And then Eric Zorn from the Tribune joins us. It's Bill and it's Wendy on WGN.
Zorn, 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 the greatest father in all the land. Zorn, 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 we sing the praises of Zorn.
I'm glad Eric's here. I was a little nervous with Renee Taylor. Just her history of going back into like the golden age of Hollywood made me very nervous.
Yeah,
I'm not that nervous with Eric.
No.
I'm very comfortable with you, Eric.
Oh, that's good. I do have embarrassing tales from the golden
from the
age
old
of
days of Hollywood.
But I prefer
tell
not
your
to talk
Ida Lupino story. This always makes me laugh.
I'm sworn to secrecy on that.
All right, I appreciate that. Now that said, you started to share a story with Wendy and me off the air, but it's way too good for off the air. I think this needs to be discussed on air.
I will tell this story. Yeah, I was I spent last weekend. I have this annual reunion with my college housemates.
Mm-hmm.
We've been doing this for like the last 8 or 9 years. As we're getting older, we're realizing our chances to get together are diminishing over the years.
Boy, I bet you discuss different things now than you did back then.
Absolutely, absolutely. Do and what one of the things and the three of us have kids and one of them was telling us that his daughter who used to live in Chicago doesn't live here anymore recently was dating a law student and that this and they had several dates I think it's up to like on their fifth date and he said there's something I need to tell you about myself and he said that I'm a flat earther basically I'm
a person who believes that the earth is flat but not round
and these
I would have totally turned around and walk the other way.
Well, I think it was probably like a cartoon character. Hey, like she's sitting there, and then there's just a little cloud of dust.
Yeah.
A little sound effect. Zing. Yeah, I mean, she basically, I think, as he tells it, she just said, you know, well, we're done. You know, this is, that's crazy. You're,
how can you move forward, though,
you
if
can't.
You're just,
you
just two
can't.
Separate?
You just can't. And it got us to talking in this conversation about what are these, what deal breakers are there? And that's certainly just, it's such an obvious one, right? There are people who seriously believe that the Earth is flat. The Earth is a big disc,
right?
In the Arctic,
or sometimes
surface.
A domed surface that it's flat, but with a dome over it. You've heard that theory,
yeah? And that the government for some reason wants you to believe that the Earth is round. And I mean, it's nutty. It's nutty stuff.
Does anybody look at telescope pictures? And you know,
they're fake, Wendy. They're all
they're
fake.
All fake.
Sorry.
I mean, any answer and any question like that, any bit of evidence has been fake. Just like you know, the fossil record has been faked and everything else. Anyway,
there's a clip that's on YouTube right now from a morning show from either a week or two ago where they had a flat earther on and they were peppering with questions, each question better than the last. And like one of the questions was, well, he was saying we've got these high definition cameras now that see for miles and miles and miles, but if the earth was round you would see it tail off deeper into the picture. But they said no, because it's not your picture isn't being taken for hundreds of miles, it's for a mile or two, so you wouldn't see
the curvature.
Well, why can't we see Michigan from the Allstate showcase or skyline?
Because it's too far away.
Well,
there's that.
Oh, okay, but it's not actually not too far away to see.
Right.
But
do you think it's possible, though, that there would be a guy out there that would keep something like this in his pocket, the fact that he's a flat earther, so that if he feels the relationship has run its course, he could pull that out and know that she would break up.
This was my second thought. We had a good conversation then just about what are the deal breakers? None of us are in the dating market anymore, but what are the, or you're talking to your kids, you're counseling your kids who are dating, like what is something where someone says something to you, like say, well, that's it, we're done.
Yeah.
You know, I would have a really hard time with an anti-vaxxer.
Yeah.
Especially if you're planning to have kids with them, I'd have real hard time. And you know, there are obvious things if you have really strong religious
Cubs fan.
People were saying, I put this on Facebook, people were saying Cubs fan.
That's what ruined Wendy's marriage to Joe Pepitone.
Thank God, though. I'm with Jimmy Mack. Big socks.
He's a flat earther, too.
Yeah, Joe Pepitone was.
Yeah, it brings the conversation full circle.
Can I tell you what my daughter had?
Well, let me just, if I can, Les, I definitely want to know this, but I think the answer is yes. And this was the second thought that occurred to me, which was, is this something this guy is thinking, well, this relationship, it's not really going anywhere, but I don't want to have that conversation about, there's no chemistry here, it's not you, it's me, we can be friends.
Sure.
You know, those kind of agonizing, I don't want to see you anymore things. All you got to do is pull flat earth out of your pocket, and
show's
she's
over.
Gone. And you're just like, hey,
I don't
it's
think
over.
People
and,
do that.
I guarantee you there's a percentage of guys out there who keep that ready. Just in case they're in a relationship that's gone longer than they wanted to, they just need to say something outrageous, and the problem takes care of itself.
Just ghost them. That's what the new kids do.
Yeah, but this is so much cleaner, right? Because now there's no chance she's going to text him or say, let's try again.
She wants out.
But she'll spread a rumor on Facebook that he's a flat earther. I didn't even know what that was until today.
Until a minute ago. Yeah.
Well, the other thing is, I don't know if she went and. You'd think that if someone were a flat earther, and I would also imagine that anyone dating anybody these days, the first thing you do is Google them, right?
Yeah.
And if he doesn't have any trace of that, mine. Maybe it is. Maybe it's a lie. See, I was thinking. What's your daughter's story?
This is a deal breaker.
Yes. My daughter went out on a date with a guy. I hope this is okay to tell. I'm guessing it is.
You want to call her?
What's his name?
I won't say his name or Social Security. So they go out on a first date. Everything's great. They go out on a second date. And at dinner, he says, hey, this seems to be going pretty well, but I want to tell you this up front so you know it going forward. And she goes, uh-oh, sure. What is it? He says, I see ghosts all the time. And she goes, like, when? And he goes, like, all the time. Like, on the way here.
Could you give him my number? I'd love to talk to him.
So, the rest of the date played out. She did not see him again after that. She said, he seems like a very nice guy in every direction, but the mere fact that no matter where he goes, he sees dead people is a little alarming to me, so I can't.
It's very alarming, and it would be something that would be,
wouldn't that qualify as a deal breaker? Now, on your friend's daughter's story, this was a guy who goes to a good school. Everything about him seems to be okay. Check out.
Yeah.
But then when you get to that, the fact that he thinks the Earth is a flat surface, not a round surface, where does that come from?
Well, it certainly suggests, I don't know where it comes from, but it certainly suggests sort of this, I mean, a wacky way of looking at things and an inability to think logically and to accept science.
Yes.
And you start pulling on that thread and you just don't want to be around that.
What else is he capable of, right?
So, and it also depends if someone says, like, you know, I've seen a ghost occasionally, that would be one thing. If I see ghosts all the time, there's probably, you know, with all due respect to those who see ghosts all the time, there's probably some mental health issues there that need to be explored.
Could be a problem.
And
now,
that shouldn't be first date material.
This was the second date.
Still, this is like, you know,
waited,
after
Wendy.
A few months of seeing someone and seeing if it clicks, then you kind of go, got to tell you something.
Well, I had a situation when I started dating Johanna, who's my wife now.
Wait, Eric, this sounds like a great story. Is there any way we can tell you to hold off for just a moment and take a break?
I don't think so. Is
that all right?
I feel like
would
I have
you
to
mind?
Tell it now, but
no,
well,
just
okay.
Hold on
all
for
right.
a second.
All right.
Eric Zorn has a great story to share with us. It's coming up in just a little bit. Stick around. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Eric Zorn is our guest. Eric just told us the story about a friend of his whose daughter was on a date with a guy who seemed like a very nice man, but then...
Hang on.
The fifth date.
By the fifth date,
on the fifth date,
he explained that he is one of those people they call the flat earthers, that he believes that the planet Earth is flat,
we're living
not
on a
round.
Disc. Yes, we're living on a disc.
So you said...
The man wants you to think we're on a globe.
What are the deal breakers? Who could you be in a relationship where when they share something about themselves, you just go, I thought I liked you, I
Packer
thought I loved
fan.
You, I can't... Would a Packer fan be one?
Well, if they wore the cheese head on the date, that would be your sign, right?
Speak for yourself. I might like that. Oh. I love cheese.
Oh.
It might be a turn on. So anyway, I was telling you that I had to do this. I had a disclosure I had to make to Johanna when we started dating many years ago, and it was like a worst of this whirlwind thing. We went out and we were like really, it was really going well. And then after a few dates, I had to sit her down. I said, "There's something I think you need to know."
Mm-hmm.
And she said that her thought, first of all, she turned to that I was married.
Yeah, that was would have been the first thing I would have thought.
That was pretty much the one she thought that I was going to say, or that I was in a serious other relationship, and that she was on vacation coming back. Anyway, that was not the case. But I guess today you might have someone say, you know, I'm transitioned. I'm not. I was born. I think there would be.
Is that what you told her?
I did not tell her that. I had that in my back pocket in case I wanted to end the relationship right there. No, I had to tell her that I was at the time really heavily into square dancing and contra dancing. I was a caller and a musician. Right.
That's a deal breaker for me.
Well, and I think for most. I said, you know, I'm
a toy collector.
I'm with the Chicago Barn Dance Company. I said, I'm like every Monday night I go to these dances and it's a big, and I go on. I go to weekends, dance weekends, and sometimes I go to dance camps.
You don't look the part or act the part. I got to tell you, and there's nothing wrong with it, and I think it's cute.
Shoes on and stuff.
I know it's a surprise to people, but I'm less involved in it now than I was then.
What was her reaction to this?
She was dubious and skeptical about it, but it didn't. She went to some dances then, and she even ended up going to some dance weekends. It was never her thing.
But don't you think at this point she was just relieved that it wasn't something really, really horrible?
I think that's what it was. I think maybe that's another dating strategy, right? You think it's the worst thing about yourself, and then you build it up, and they say, like, I've got to tell you this, and then it's like, you know, my shoes are different sizes or something. It's something that's a little off, but nothing too troubling. But no, she said, and it was, you know, she tells this story a lot. She says, you know, it was a hard thing to deal with because this was a really serious passion of mine. That was something I'm still interested in it. In fact, I can't be here next Monday because I'm going to fiddle camp.
Oh, fiddle camp.
I'm down in North Carolina. Yeah. So,
yeah.
You guys want to call me at fiddle camp? I can just hold the phone up and hear me play. But
I won't be here either Monday.
I may also take the day off.
Well, you guys want to come to fiddle camp? We can all.
I can't go to fiddle camp that week, but in the future, I'm sure we can find a date.
It's one of those things where I mean, every relationship does involve, you know, some sort of accommodation. You're not going to find someone who is into everything that you're into,
right?
And then, but ideally, you find someone who's into something, and you're like, I'd never thought about that, but maybe I'll like it. And one of the guys I was with, we were with this weekend, his wife now was really into gardening and into cross country skiing and snowshoeing. And he's like, oh, okay. And now these are
that's what they do together.
He really likes it. Oh. I mean, it's like you sort of, you know, you adapt. You don't just stay who you when you're in a serious long term relationship. You come together. You blend. And over, you know, Johanna will go dancing once in a while. I don't go over as nearly as often anymore.
Yeah.
I'm not nearly as involved as I was in that all that before. And so, you know, you find these things that you do together, and that's, you know, what's building a relationship.
You've already thrown it out to your readers saying, what are the deal breakers that you guys just think is an insurmountable situation where whoever you're with would just go, no, you're too involved in something. And what is the
I've thrown that out on Facebook. And, you know, the anti-vaxxer thing came up right away.
I bet.
I think one of them was smoking. That smoking can be a real, you know, if you're a smoker.
And
that we can't have a relationship. But I suppose that's something that would not come up after 5 days. You can kind of tell, right, with someone's this one.
I would imagine there'd be
smokers don't hide it. They, you know, you'd know right away if that person was.
Do you don't
a
think there'd ever be somebody who'd go? I think while I'm seeing where this is going, I won't smoke around him or her. Just
have you
to
ever
see
been a smoker? You can't just
never
not
have.
Smoke.
When Terry and I started dating, she smoked, but she didn't smoke around me for quite a while. And one of her friends from college said, you know, she smokes, right? And I go, no, she doesn't. But she did.
Dude,
she
that is one of your total deal breakers.
Yeah.
So,
but I convinced her to stop. I said, I don't want to fall in love with you, and then you'll die.
That's so romantic.
That's a sweet thing to say.
It is actually kind of nice.
Yeah. And it's a nice way to use the L word, right?
Yes.
Early on.
So, yes.
You know, I'm falling in love with you, but...
Yes.
And I was
mean,
kidding.
The L word, lucky strikes? Is that what you mean by the L word? Yeah.
I was kidding about a Cubs fan, because there are a lot of Sox Cubs fan relationships going on.
Oh, sure. And there are a lot
And you do learn from one another.
And there are a number of relationships, I think, where people are, you know, someone who's somewhat liberal, somewhat conservative.
Yeah. It can work,
and interfaith marriages can work. I think as long as I don't know that interfaith marriages relationships can work if people are really really strong in their respective beliefs.
Right.
That
usually one
have to
gives
give a little.
In
you
a
have
little.
To. I think if you are you're sort of a moderate or reform style person in various faith that you can make that work. But if one person really strongly believes that the other person is going to hell,
right,
or to some other bad place, or is an infidel and deserves actually deserves to die, but you're letting it slide for
that
now.
That could be a rough thing.
I think that could be really hard. But people make it's amazing the kind of relationships that people do end up making work. So you know, it's but again, just to get back to this, like a flat Earth.
thing, that's tough to overcome, isn't it? Eric Zorn will not be here next week, Wendy. He'll be at Fiddle Camp. You know that.
Mm-hmm.
Fiddle Camp.
Make a note.
Yeah. So
North Carolina.
Everybody adjust your schedules. Mm-hmm. We'll see you in 2 weeks.
Great.
That's Eric Zorn of the Chicago Tribune. Coming up, tune into the WGN Extra to hear us talk about what's hot and what's cold. It's all sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling. They are the 60-Minute Men.
And
coming up, the stories that matter with Don Kleppen from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio.